If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Now, I'm going to speak to you today from Matthew chapter 2. And I do mean today, morning and evening. Because you may say, well, what a familiar chapter. But do you know something? As you read the scriptures, you discover more and more. You're like a man digging for treasure. The more you dig, the more you find. And even in this familiar chapter, there is great truths and wonderful lessons to be learned. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things. Did you realize in this chapter, there are four prophecies fulfilled? Look at verse 5. Verse 6 is going to be our text. But notice it says, for thus it was written by the prophet. If you notice verse 15, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Verse 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. And then if you look at verse 23, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. So this chapter is very wonderful. It's in the New Testament, but it contains four Old Testament references. And they are fulfilled in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice the Lord gave four dreams? Did you notice that? Four dreams. First of all, verse 12, the wise men and being warned of God in a dream. Verse 13, it says, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream. Verse 19, once again, and when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And did you notice verse 22? Joseph, once again, being warned of God in a dream. Now, this is wonderful. So in our chapter, we learn this. God has spoken in the Old Testament prophecies by the prophets. But God, in our chapter, is still speaking to his servants. Well, this is a big lesson to learn, isn't it? God has spoken. God is still speaking. And of course, we as Christians believe that. God has spoken. And we have before us the very word of God. It's been written down for us. God has spoken. And today, he doesn't speak through dreams, but he speaks through his word. It's his living word. And every Christian knows the wonderful experience that all of a sudden as they're reading the Bible and they think they know all that they're going to read and they think they know what they're coming to, all of a sudden a verse comes alive. Oh, I've never noticed that before. And it's the living word of God. And the Lord speaks to us from the scriptures. And we want to say to this needy world that, as it were, has got the hands on their ears so they don't want to hear the voice of God. We want to say God is still speaking. And the word of God is being declared to men and women. Now, my text is found in Micah chapter 2. Chapter 5 and verse 2. I'm going to read it to you. I hope you notice what was missing in Matthew's gospel. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now you would have noticed from Matthew chapter 2 And verse 6, that last little phrase, whose goings forth has been from of old, from everlasting, is not mentioned. Was that an embarrassment to the chief priests and the scribes? Why didn't they say that? Well, we don't know the answer to that, but that's what our text originally says, and we'll consider that as we go through. Now, my title is, well, it's a question. Why was the Lord Jesus Christ born at Bethlehem? Why was the Lord Jesus Christ born at Bethlehem? I'm going to answer that question. I've got a few answers. We don't get into double figures, so don't worry. But I've got a few answers. Why was Jesus Christ born at Bethlehem? Well, answer number one. Because God said Jesus Christ would be born at Bethlehem. 700 years before the birth of Christ, God declared through Micah the prophet that Bethlehem would be the place where the Saviour would be born. Now, man couldn't have predicted that. But God can, because he knows everything. Because God has declared that Jesus Christ will be born at Bethlehem. And God never, ever gets anything wrong. What a prophecy this is. Did you notice in Micah it says Bethlehem Ephrathah? In Matthew it talks about Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Well, it's the same place. But the important thing is this. In the land of Israel, there are two Bethlehems. The one in the land of Judah in the south. But there's another one in the north, just above the Sea of Galilee, called Bethlehem. But the Lord doesn't want us to leave us to guesswork. He doesn't want to say, well, which one's it going to be? He declares, but the Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Can I just make a very simple comment? The Lord knows all about geography. He not only made this world, but he knows where every town, every city, every village is placed. He knows every road. He knows every part of our world. And he knows exactly where people live. The Lord knows all about geography. But I'm going to tell you something else. The Lord knows all about current events. This is how great our God is. Now, Mary and Joseph were in Nazareth. It was getting time, very close, to give birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever stop to think, well, how is this prophecy going to be fulfilled? Can you imagine two angels? Please don't take this too seriously. And they're saying one to another, the Bible says that Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem. But there they are in Nazareth. This prophecy isn't going to be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ will be born in Nazareth, not Bethlehem. But the two angels had forgotten one thing. There's a great verse in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 1. It says this. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. The king isn't the final authority. The Lord is the final authority. And he steers the heart to whatever the Lord wants to come about. And of course, we all know what happened. A decree went out from Caesar that all the world should be taxed. And Mary and Joseph, being of the line of David, had to make their journey 80 miles south to come to Bethlehem. And there this wonderful prophecy was fulfilled in such a wonderful way. And Christ was born at Bethlehem, just as the scriptures has said. Why was Jesus born at Bethlehem? Because God said he would be born at Bethlehem. There was a couple walking by a lake one night. It was perfectly still. And there was a perfect reflection of the moon in the water. And all of a sudden, a breeze went across the water. And there was a ripple effect. And the couple cried out, "The moon's shaking!" Well, it wasn't the moon shaking. It was the water. What a lesson. Man's heart is unstable as water. He gets it always wrong. But God's word is unmovable, unbreakable. It cannot fail. And that's why this great prophecy of Scripture tells us of the inerrancy and the inspiration of the word of God. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. So why was he born at Bethlehem? Because God said so. And it was exactly right. Why was Jesus Christ born at Bethlehem? Answer number two. Because of what the name Bethlehem means. I think you know what the name Bethlehem means. It means the house of bread. And how appropriate that the one who would later say in John's Gospel chapter 7, "I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven." And he uses the illustration, just as the manna fell in the wilderness for the children of Israel, it came down from heaven to feed them in their journey as they went through that wilderness, so have I come down from heaven to feed the souls of men and women, of those who believe. What a lovely thought this is. From the house of bread came the one who would be the bread of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, he comes to men and women in this vain, empty, troubled world where there is disappointment and dissatisfaction. And he comes and he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the only one who can satisfy your greatest need. I am the one who will never be a disappointment to you. I am the one who can give you exactly what you require. I am the bread of life." So the one who was the bread of life came to the house of bread when he was born at Bethlehem. Why was Jesus Christ born at Bethlehem? Answer number three. Because of the history of Bethlehem. Because of the history of Bethlehem. Now, there's a principle in the Bible about the first mentioned. Well, that would make a good quiz question, wouldn't it? Where's Bethlehem first mentioned? Well, I'm going to tell you. Can't wait a long time, okay? Genesis chapter 35, verses 18 and 19. And when it's first mentioned, it sets the theme, the tone, for the description of that place in the future. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read those two verses so we can see how wonderful this is. Genesis 35, verses 18 and 19. And it came to pass, now as Jacob here is on his journey, and it came to pass, as her soul, speaking of Rachel, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Isn't this amazing? Rachel gives birth to a baby boy. But at the same time when she is given birth, she dies. Isn't that a good summary of our world? What happens in our world? There are births and there are deaths. There is the maternity ward and there is the graveyard. One generation comes and another one goes. And our Lord Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem to remind ourselves that life is so short. There are births and there are deaths. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself was born to die, to come and meet our deepest need. And he comes into this world of sadness and sorrow and misery. And he comes and pays for the sins of men and women, knowing that the wages of sin is death. And there he dies on the cross. He suffers in the place of others in order that men and women might have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Now, there is a popular Christmas song, and I'm going to comment about it. It has a line, "And man shall live forevermore because of Christmas Day." That line, that song, gives thousands false assurance. Man shall live forevermore because he is an eternal soul. The greatness of our gospel message is this. Man will live forevermore if they trust Christ in heaven and be with Christ forevermore. But if they do not trust Christ, they will live forevermore in a place the Bible describes as hell. Bethlehem sums up the history of this world. A place of birth, a place of death. And we're all travelling through this world from the moment we are born into it to the moment we leave it. So Bethlehem, place of birth, the place of death. Why was Jesus Christ born at Bethlehem? Answer number 4. For the instruction of the church of Jesus Christ. Think of the book of Ruth. There was a day when the house of bread, Bethlehem, didn't have any bread. There was a famine. Now in the Old Testament, when there was a famine, God sent it because the people had sinned. They had drifted away from the commandments of God. And sometimes they had turned from God completely and worshipped other gods. They had sinned against God and God sent a famine to draw them back to himself. They should have gathered for prayer and confession of sin. In repentance, they should have humbled themselves and they should have said, "Lord, we have sinned. Please be merciful to us. Visit us again that we might know refreshing times of thy presence and that we might know bread in Bethlehem." That's what they should have done. But you know what Elimelech did, didn't you? Instead of calling a prayer meeting, instead of confessing sin, instead of repentance, they went off to Moab. And do you know what happened? You know what happened. He died. His two sons died. And Naomi came back and confessed, "I went out full I came back empty. All because they didn't face up to sin. What a tragedy when a church should be the house of bread to supply spiritual food, to feed the souls of men and women, and yet there's no bread because the Lord has withdrawn his blessing. The bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not present amongst his people. What a challenge that is for the church, for every Christian. Instead of being an Elimelech, to be one who turns afresh to the Lord. I sometimes wonder, professing Christians, they don't mind a Christ that is in the manger. He can't say anything. But they do not like a Christ that is on the throne, who speaks and challenges his people to live for him, to take the paths of holiness and purity, and to stand for him in a wicked world. So, Bethlehem, instruction for the people of God. Why was Jesus Christ born at Bethlehem? Answer number 5. Answer: because kings are born in Bethlehem. Kings are born in Bethlehem. Why were Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem? Because they were of the house and lineage of David. David's great king, Israel's greatest king, David, was born there. Samuel was to go to Bethlehem and anoint young David to be king over Israel. And what a wonderful king he was. Well, he had his faults. But oh, how wonderfully, when we look at the life of David, you see insights into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful when David, under the inspiration of the Spirit, took his pen and wrote those wonderful psalms which speak so well of Christ. Kings were born in Bethlehem. And our Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. No wonder the wise men came saying, "Where is he born? King of the Jews." The eternal king, the immortal king, the everlasting king became our incarnate at Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the place where kings are born. Why was Jesus Christ born at Bethlehem? Answer number 6. Because it's the place of hope. The place of hope. Rachel died at Bethlehem, but Benjamin was born. Benjamin became one of the great tribes of the nation of Israel. Naomi returns empty, but she brings back with her Ruth. The Moabitess marries Boaz, and she becomes part of the royal line of which Christ will be born. And we have in our Bibles the delightful book of Ruth. Micah chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us that Israel is surrounded by the enemies of God because of Israel's sins. Israel is about to be annihilated because of its apostasy. But in verse 2 we have this great prophecy: "But thou, Bethlehem," there's hope because God has declared the Savior of the world, the Messiah, would be born at Bethlehem. Israel cannot be annihilated because the Savior will come through the nation of Israel. In this world, I don't think perhaps we realize it as Christians, there are lives, and day after day, They just think about their hopelessness. They haven't got any hope. They go for the national lottery. They look forward to Christmas Day. But it's all gone. It never comes. Their lives are hopeless. But what is the great message of the gospel? It is this. From death, new life comes in Benjamin. From disaster, Naomi brings back Ruth. From defeat, Israel is brings forth the Saviour who will be victorious. And you know those three things? They affect people's life, death. What a terrible thing to go to a non-Christian's funeral. Hopelessness. But what a joy to go to a Christian's funeral. Hope. Disaster. Lives are messed up. And there are many of them today. Hopeless. But the Bible says if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. New life. And when there is defeat, when sin overpowers men and women, there is a Saviour who comes and lifts up such and cleans up such and justifies them and puts new life within them. What a glorious message the gospel is because of the hope that the Saviour brings to men and women when they are born again. Why was Christ born at Bethlehem? Answer number 7. Because it was a little one. It was a little one. Did you notice? Micah, it says, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. In the quote in Matthew chapter 2, it says, art not thou least among the princes of Judah. We will sing soon, O little town of Bethlehem. The King of Glory. He could have been born in Jerusalem, the great city. But he chose Bethlehem, a little one. What would characterize the life of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world? Humility and lowliness. And he is born in Bethlehem, a little one, a small, insignificant town amongst the thousands that are in Judah. But do you know something? This has a great truth. The Lord deals with little ones. Little ones. And I'm not talking about children here. I'm talking about insignificant ones. Do you know something? Some of us feel like a little tiny piece of dust. We're so insignificant in this world. We're so little compared to others. But let me read to you some wonderful verses from 1 Corinthians. It says this, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Listen to this, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, the base things of the world, and the things which it despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Isn't that incredible? Sometimes perhaps you feel so insignificant, so poor. You look at others and you feel, who am I? And you, as it were, curl up in a corner. But remember this. God sets his love on the little ones. He came to little Bethlehem. And he can come to your little life as well. And bless you with great spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. So why was Jesus born at Bethlehem? Because it was a little one. Now I want to bring things to a conclusion. I want you now to notice something from the quote from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Notice these words. He speaks about the little among the thousands of Judah. Then it says this. Yet out of thee he, that's referring to the Lord Jesus, the one who is born at Bethlehem, shall come forth unto me. Many think that should be in capitals, speaking of God the Father. That is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Or if you've got in the margin, the days of eternity. Now please notice the movement in this verse. It says this, yet out of thee he shall come forth unto me. Can you see a movement? From Bethlehem, this one born at Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come unto the Father. And he did. From Bethlehem, he lived that pure, perfect life in this world. He gave himself up to the cross of Calvary. He was lowered into a tomb. Third day he rose again from the dead. After 40 days ascended back to his Father. And there he is exalted at God's right hand. What movement there is in this verse. The one who was born at lowly Bethlehem, the one who humbled himself. Now listen to these verses. Philippians 9, verse 9 to 11. Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Now, isn't that amazing? From lowly Bethlehem, he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. He endured poverty, but now he is on the throne, exalted, that every knee should bow. Now that's the first thing to notice. The second thing I want you to notice is this. He shall be ruler in Israel, or governor in Israel. Here is the one who would be the great shepherd of the flock. Now this is a wonderful truth, isn't it? Not the little babe, but now the one exalted is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the ruler of the church. He is the judge of the world. And he is the one who has all authority. And it all started when he was born in Bethlehem. The third thing I want you to notice, it says, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Here is one, I think you know this little phrase, here is one who is older than his mother. He existed before Bethlehem. He's the eternal Son of God. That's why the wonder of Bethlehem is so marvelous. That the eternal one came into time to become like his creation, that little babe of Bethlehem. Now why did the eternal one come into time? Why did he take upon himself a body? Well, you think of your sin. You are finite. You could never throughout all eternity pay for your sin. So you need an eternal person who in a short space of time can pay for your sin. And that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary's cross. Only he could do it, because he is the eternal Son of God. It was the blood of Emmanuel, God with us, that paid for our sin. Now let me wrap this all up. What is your reaction to Micah chapter 5 verse 2? Well, I'm going to tell you Herod's reaction. He hated it. And that's why he made a plan to murder all those little babies in Bethlehem. He hated it. The very thought of King Jesus Christ coming into this world. Can I just say, there are many today who hate our Lord Jesus Christ. They hate his person, so they blaspheme his name. They hate his laws. They hate his ordinances. They hate all that is to do with Jesus Christ. Now think, what was the reaction of the chief priests and scribes? They heard the testimony of the wise men. We've come to, where is he? Born King of the Jews, they say. We've come to worship him. They heard that. They got out their Bibles and they read Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And everyone heard that great prophecy. What did they do? Answer? Nothing. Nothing. They just carried on in their same old way, their old religious way in Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? No, it's not really. Because that's the state of the human heart if you're unconverted. It's hard, it's blind, and it's indifferent to spiritual things. But what was the reaction of the wise men? Isn't it amazing? These wise men, they travelled hundreds of miles. No doubt they had many dangers on the way. They weren't Jews, they were Gentiles. And they'd come all the way to Jerusalem seeking the Saviour. And when they heard the scriptures read to them, what did they do? They made their way to Bethlehem to worship the King. And they fell down before him and worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. What insight they must have had, what revelation they must have received to see in that baby the one who was the King of the Jews, who the Saviour of the world. What insight they must have had. And they worshipped him. Can I ask you this morning as I finish, what's your reaction to chapter 5, verse 2 of Micah? Have you been brought to worship the one who is the King, the Saviour of the world? There is a lovely hymn, not in our books. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorns, they bore thee to Calvary. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Thy cross is my only plea. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonder of Scripture. We thank you for this great fulfilled prophecy. We thank you, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ did come. He did live. He did die. He He did rise again. And now he's in the glory with thyself. And one day he's coming again for his people and to judge this world. We pray and we plead, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Thy cross is my only plea. Have mercy on us, we ask, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.